Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Save big money right now at Menards. From smoke and carbon monoxide detectors to fire extinguishers and more, Kidde Home Safety products keep your family protected in case of emergencies. Smoke and carbon monoxide detectors are perfect for your living spaces, offering protection and peace of mind. Save big money on all Kidde products at Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
We go up to El Pais in Madrid. Now, it's been Melissa Kitson for the past couple of weeks, but hold on, because here comes Simon Afton. Good morning to you, even.
Yeah, good morning. It really should have been me last week. Well, it should have been me last week and the week before, but I had a sick child 2 weeks ago, and then last week I can't remember what happened, but Melissa ended up taking over. So, yes, you're stuck with me for the next couple of weeks.
Now,
I will be here.
The first question is, because, as you know, Melissa Kitson, hello to the little kitten, is never going to leave her apartment, is she?
No, we can't get her out. We've been trying to crowbar her out of there, but no, she's very unwilling to come out. And I think I've said this to you before, she's done a complete about face, because you normally, before the pandemic, I could never persuade her to work from home. She always wanted to come into the office. I think she liked the sort of delineation between home and office. But yes, now we're having trouble prising her out of her home. It's quite a challenge.
Have you been into the busy newsroom of El Pais? Are you there at the moment, or are you working from home today?
No, sir? I'm not there today, but no, I am going in. I'm going in a good couple of days a week. But it's not massively busy. I mean, we're sort of we're supposed to be at about 70% of the workforce in at any one time, but yeah, I think obviously, especially for the reporters, you know, they've got very much used to, well, we've all got used to this sort of mixed model now. Yeah. So yeah, it's just, I mean, I vowed never to drive in to. I try and go in on my bicycle all the time, but I vowed never to drive in at rush hour anymore and just work from home and then go in at about 10 o'clock, because it's just ridiculous. The traffic in Madrid is worse now, I think, than it was before the pandemic, because I think more people are avoiding public transport.
I thought they were cracking down on the transport in Madrid. There was a huge thing, or as I used to say, no, you can bring in your steam-powered Rolls Royces at the weekend.
Oh no, it's awful. I mean, there's no, you know, the traffic calming stuff has gone out the window, and the local council are letting the bicycle system, the hire system that we've got, just basically wither and die, because I think they want to farm it out to a private company. So it's just awful, and we've got that awful cloud of pollution hanging over our heads, which you can see from outside the city. So no, it's not a pretty picture here, I must say.
I do think that's probably a slogan by Vox, that basically, you know bicycles are just the slow, it's just two steps away from communism and Cuba and the whole thing, basically. Right, then let's get away from that very sticky wicket, shall we? Yes. We're talking about people working from home. This was brought in as a precaution to stop the spread of coronavirus, and yet we're hearing the sixth wave and 82 cases per 100,000. What's going on, Simon?
Yeah, well, the cumulative incidence is basically the measure that Spain has particularly been using to judge the state of the pandemic. And for a good couple of weeks, we were under 50 cases per 100,000 inhabitants over the previous 2 weeks, but that has now we're now on a rising trend, and for a while now it's been over 50, which was deemed the the low, you know, under 50 was a low risk level, but yeah, it's going up. And yesterday's ministry report, it went up another 6.6 points, and we're now at 88.6 cases per 100,000 inhabitants over the last 14 days. That's the biggest rise, the biggest one-day rise in 20 days. But of course, we're in a very different situation now than we have been at other times in the pandemic. We are at 79% of the entire population is fully vaccinated in Spain, which is, if you compare other countries of a similar size to Spain, I mean, that's, you know, Spain is doing incredibly well in this respect. And it's one of the highest, it's got one of the highest percentages. And of course, with such a large amount of people vaccinated, even though the virus is circulating more widely than it was just a few weeks ago, this is not translating into higher pressure on hospitals, because of course, if you're vaccinated, you can still catch the virus, but the likelihood is that you're going to have much milder symptoms, probably going to escape hospitalization, and of course, the risk of death from COVID-19 is much, much lower. So just to give you an idea of what's going on in the hospitals, just 1.7% of patients across the country are coronavirus patients at the moment. And in terms of the intensive care units, it's just 4.6% of patients. So the pressure on hospitals is very, very low. That said, I mean, there is still some concern, and in particular because this is, we look at these statistics from region to region. Some regions are suffering worse than others. So, for example, in the Basque Country and Navarre, the infection rates are double the national average. So what's happening now is that there's some noise from these regions in particular, suggesting that maybe they need to bring in more measures. So, for example, the Basque Country at the moment is requesting authorization to demand the vaccine passport for access to nightlife venues and to restaurants. Galicia, interestingly, is actually already doing this, but is now asking for the COVID passport or a negative PCR test for people visiting patients in hospitals, and also for healthcare workers. And in Valencia also, they're looking at making a COVID pass a requirement for entry into certain centres. Timo Puig was a bit coy about exactly what he was talking about. He was saying there would be sites where most contagions happen, in closed spaces where it is difficult to be with a face mask. So, of course, I mean, one of these, you know, nightlife seems to be getting back to pretty much getting back to normal. I visited a night spot in Madrid recently.
Did you know? I mean, it was solely in the things of research, obviously, undercover.
Yeah, there wasn't a mask to be seen. I mean, even though they're supposed to be worn, you know, when you're not drinking. So, so that's pretty much where we are. Which is certainly not, you know, we're not in a place that we should be worried. You know, you were off the air. You said something about another lockdown, but I mean, I don't think we're anywhere, no, you know, near even thinking about that. And of course, let's not forget, you know, Spain really did only have one, you know, major lockdown. Everything's still going along very nicely in schools.
That was, you know, going to be my question. As the father of two young and very lively children, I mean, how's school been?
School's been fantastic. I mean, my six-year-old, he has to wear a mask all day, but he's been amazing with that and been incredibly adaptable. I was listening to a podcast. I was listening to the New York Times podcast yesterday, The Daily, and I heard some frantic American woman saying, making children wear masks in schools is child abuse. And I obviously could not be further from that point of view. I think that it's not great. It doesn't help with things like non-verbal communication. But I think we forget sometimes how adaptable children are. And I think the Spanish children have been amazing in terms of, you know, sticking to the rules and wearing the masks even when people aren't telling them to. I mean, when my kids are playing downstairs in the patio here in our block, they all tend to be wearing their masks, and it seems a very small price to pay to keep the schools open, to keep the country running, because, you know, let's face it, really, there's not nothing that you can't do in Spain at the moment. We're pretty much back to a situation of normality, apart from some restrictions, including the use of masks. So it seems to be working.
Keep the schools open, keep the country running, and keep the parents sane, basically. But anyway, let's move on from this one, because obviously we will probably come back to it at some point. But this is fabulous, if I use the right word, because you may or may not know that I've, you know, got a particular twisted interest in the history of Spain and the history of Franco, and also what happened after the war. And this has come up in El País with it's an interesting one, for an interesting gift to the Valencian government, shall we say, or an interesting discovery.
It really is, yeah. I mean, this is a story that dates back to 2005, when a woman of German origin called Gertrudis Sommer-Fischer, she died in Denia, which is, I'm sure many of your listeners will know, the Spanish coastal city in the Valencia region. And she had no heirs and she left no will. So under Spanish law, there's a deadline where people can, you know, claim the inheritance. But this deadline passed. So what happens in those cases is that all the assets are then passed on to the Valencia regional government. She left behind quite an inheritance. It was three properties in Denia, several savings accounts with about €300,000 and stocks as well, which went for nearly €500,000. But then there was also this, there was a security box, a safe deposit box in a that she held in a bank. And inside that box was the surprising find, which was a collection of medals, crosses, gold coins, as well as more shares. But some of the medals had swastikas on them. Now, there's not much known about Fischer apart from the fact that she was, you know, German national and been living alone in Denia. But this find was not completely unexpected, because, and this is the part that I find really interesting, and I'm sure you do too, and I didn't know, is that in the years following the Second World War, quite a few former Nazis set up home in Denia with the support of the Franco dictatorship. And this Nazi past of certain areas of Spain has garnered quite a lot of interest in recent years. And there's been films, novels, documentaries. And one of the films actually just came out a couple of weeks ago. It's called The Replacement, El Sustituto. And the film's director, Oscar Eibar, he told El País this quite amusing anecdote when they were taking a break from filming, and he heard a local in a bar say, "They are making a film about our Nazis." Nazis taking possession of the Nazis in Denia. It's quite amusing.
Making a film about, and also there was this thing about Gerhard Bremer, this is Hollywood gold, isn't it? Basically, I mean, this is The Boys from Brazil, but it's almost like The Boys from Near Benidorm.
Well, that's it. Yeah. So, three of the three properties that belong to Gertrudis Sommer-Fischer, two were located in this area called, it's a beach area called Les Rots, and it's just a slightly away from the town centre of Denia, and that's where this former Nazi leader Gerhard Bremer, who was a member of an SS death squad, reportedly, he promoted this development of bungalows, which were later converted into apartments. And it is here that allegedly parties were thrown in honour of Hitler's birthday, with guests dressed in Nazi uniforms, which is pretty extraordinary. Maybe we should remove the former from when we talk about former Nazis moving to the area. It's pretty amazing. But what's going to happen now? Well, the Valencia regional government is going to auction off these items once it can be confirmed that none of them have a direct link to the violent crime, apparently. But some of the things, is they're pretty extraordinary. I mean, they're not just, if the Nazi stuff, there was the Order of the German Eagle, which was awarded by the German Nazi regime to foreign diplomats who were sympathetic to the Third Reich. There were also decorations from the Franco dictatorship, such as the Order of Isabella the Catholic, which is has a red enameled cross on it. And some of them, the coins, for example, are very valuable. There was 31 gold coins that were worth around 50,000 euros. So, yes, all of this is going to go to auction, and the money will go to social causes and cultural sponsorship, as per a 2019 decree on this issue. Because in the last, there's quite a lot of money involved here. In the last 10 years, the regional government in Valencia has received more than 1.68 million from these inheritances, which go unclaimed. And every year, there's about 42 of them are processed. So, What's the lesson to be learned is make your will.
make your will indeed, amongst other other things. Well, it's a brilliant story. I urge you to go if you've got any interest in what happened in Spain after the Second World War, and if you like that sort of thing, then go to El País. Simon, if people want to find out more about you or about anything else that's going on in Spain, just two of the subjects we touched on, where can they find you, my friend?
Yeah, well, if you want to find out about me, go to my Twitter page, which is Simon in Madrid.
Oh, it's all the Catalan shouting at you, though. I can't put up with it.
But you can find us online if you just search for El País English Edition, and you'll also find us on Twitter and Facebook, where we publish all of our stories as we publish them.
Simon Hunter at El País, as always, mate, a pleasure to speak to you. Take care, stay safe, and I don't want to see you wearing any regalia next time I speak to you, okay?
Thanks so much, Giles. Take care.